You have to know one another. You have to walk with each other for that to have any meaning. Unfortunately, many times the church is structured in such a way that your anonymity is protected. No one crowds your space, and so that no one can know you, and that's the way you want it. That's not the way God has designed it, and I don't think any church should invade a person's space and crash into it in an unhealthy way. But we're designed to walk in the light, to be known. We're designed to confess our faults one to another and to pray for one another. We're designed to hear from one another. We're designed to provoke one another to love and good works. And for the rugged individualist or the person that draws strength only from themselves, this is a hard thing. But we are one Lord, have one Lord, one faith, one God, one body, over all and through all. And so I'm going to ask someone else to come. I wrangled her just before church, but I know God's always doing something in Johanna's life, so come up here.
About people loving the microphone, he was referring to me, so I'll keep it short. I'm just kidding. Good morning. It's always amusing to me, and I always share this when I share, that whenever someone asks me to share, it's like God's doing something very green in my heart and new, and I'm just like in the middle of processing it, so it's always kind of funny because I don't ever have it figured out. It's just happening right now. A lot has happened this year. There's been a lot of good, and there's been some bad. The bad news out of the way, I lost my job, but then the good news was that I got a new job like 42 days later, so that was really powerful. Something that we're still in the midst of that me and my husband are kind of struggling with is that my family is really divided right now, and for a lot of reasons, but the enemy has a lot of territory in my family. There's been a lot of spiritual battles. My relationship with my dad is always rocky, but there's a lot of legal issues in my family right now, and so it's just been really tough. It's like getting bigger and bigger and like just feels insurmountable. And so I think this year for me, I've really realized with all this kind of chronic pain in my family that, I don't have a medical disease, but I've had a spiritual one, and it's been negativity in my heart. And people have been asking me, oh, how's the job, and how's all these things going, and all I've been able to focus on is the negative. And it's been really bothering me for months now, and I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, God is blessing me. God is giving me a new job. He's giving me responsibility. He's giving me an amazing church. He's giving me an amazing husband. Like, I have all these things to be joyful about, but there's just been no joy to be found in my heart. And if you're like me, I like to control and manufacture things and work really hard at things, and so I've been trying to really manufacture this joy, and I've been trying to work at it, and I've been trying to pray harder and worship harder and go to church better and just do all that kind of stuff. I've been here really early every Sunday. That's been my approach, and God is so sweet and so good and so faithful, because that whole time he's just been speaking to me again and again that I have a new revelation for you, and I have a new fresh pouring out of my spirit for you. And he's been using the word to just really reveal that. And in Matthew and in Luke, it talks about getting a new wineskin. And Jesus is talking about religion, and he's talking about old traditions, and he's saying, if you want something new, you can't pour it into an old wineskin. And so he's been saying to me, Johanna, if you want new, you can't keep acting and behaving the way that you've always acted and behaved. You've got to get new, fresh perspective. And so he's been giving me a new wineskin in my mind and in my heart. And he's been replenishing those kind of dry, negative places with new joy and with fresh perspective. And this last week, we were in Arizona, which is the driest place in the world. So it's kind of funny. I was like, this feels like my heart. It's the desert. We were there, and we had a worship night with Simeon and his family, his cousins, and I got this picture of this like beautiful seal over my heart, and I saw it for everyone in the room. Like, there was something that God was just placing on us, a new identity, and I spoke it out, and his cousin was like, oh, that's from Song of Songs. That's Song of Songs 8:6, and God says, place me like a seal over your heart. And he talks about his love being this like unquenchable fire, like even the waters cannot quench it. And God's just changing my identity. He's giving me a seal that protects me. It keeps everything inside, and it keeps the bad from getting in and destroying the work that God is doing in me. So my exhortation for you guys this coming new year is that when the new comes, we can't hold it in our old containers. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us and to bring that new and to change who we are from the very core, from the way we act, the way we think, the way we praise, the way we worship. And like I said, I'm in the middle of this, so I don't have answers. I just know that God is at work. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's placed us. He's a seal over us. He protects us. He's going to be with us in 2013 when the bad comes. That's, you know, there's going to be bad, but there's going to be so much amazing goodness because he is with us and his Spirit is real and it's working and we don't have to fear. So that's
Amen.
It. Thank you.
Aaron. Thank you, Johanna.
Well, Mike and I have been reflecting a lot. Just today was Kate's first brain surgery, a year ago. See, he's the dates guy. I'm just living it. I'm just tired going on, the mom. But I remember this moment so clearly, and we've been telling Kate his story so that he can tell his story. I think it's really important for us parents to pass on stories to our kids. Stories of faith. You know, we've been very careful with our words with Cade. You know, he's never been afraid. He's looked at everything like a journey. For those of you that don't know, our son is almost, he'll be 7 in January, and we found, we discovered a brain tumor in Cade when he was almost 5, and we had been having eye issues with Cade previous. So it really started when he was about 3 and a half, this journey. And in the midst of it, just recap really quickly, he suffered a massive stroke and a second brain surgery. He has right side weakness. He sees half out of one eye, all this stuff. And but there was a deep relief in Mike and I that we know what was wrong with Cade's eyes. And there's peace that, because we just kept praying that there would be a dialing down, like, what is it? What is it, Lord? And so I remember being with my mom in the hospital room holding my 2-year-old baby girl, not able to, I mean, day. See, it's happening. It's genetic. Father, yeah, I'm his daughter. So my 2-day baby girl and my mom there, it's pouring rain, you know, and I couldn't be with Cade in the surgery, and knowing Mike's there and feeling your prayers like a wave that I've never felt before. The Lord is so good. And in that moment, I was telling Cade that we couldn't see it, but we could feel it. We could feel this wave come over our bodies that was this giant storm and so scary, but the Lord washed it away with a giant wave of peace. He goes, could you see it? And I said, no, but I could feel it. And all of that stuff inside just dissipated. And we had this strength that we didn't know we could have until it was time to have it. And today, looking at Cade, like, saying, just talking, so excited to be here. These moments that honestly we didn't know if we'd ever have again, but yet we were okay with them because we had Cade. And even there was just times where Mike and I, as parents, we had to really even rededicate Cade back to the Lord and say, if you take him, it's okay. And God didn't. And some of you know, our heart goes just breaks for parents. And some of you in here, I know, have been through very hard things with your children where they've had to say goodbye to their kids. And it's a mystery. But I told Cade, God said, not you yet. And we always use superhero stuff. Said, with great power comes great responsibility. And, buddy, you have a lot of responsibility because the Lord saved you for something great. And today I just marvel at his goodness. The road is, you know, Susan and I were having a great little time of fellowship before. You're like, every MRI, every MRI brings you right back. You know, could I get a Kleenex from somebody? This isn't a pretty look for a gal. Thank you. Just keeping it real up here, guys. This is a real, real deal up here. But I know that Mike and I have shared our testimony to different ones of you in different times. But I can't imagine going through this without the Lord. And I'm not talking like I know him, kinda. I'm talking like he just, we didn't, it's so crazy. Because like what Johanna was sharing, like in our minds, it's just human nature. We think, okay, this isn't working. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Well, Mike and I just couldn't do anything. We were so just there that we had no choice but to just be still and let him fight for us. And I'd never been in that position before. I could always rally a little or figure it out or, no, you just be still and let me fight for you. And somebody, I don't remember who, texted us that. And it was like, again, another wave came over. And that's what he did. The Lord fought for us. And he fought for Cade in a way that we just were just like a blob before him. We also felt your prayers holding our arms up when we were just couldn't. And we felt like this visual of this army going before us. And we were just being carried by this body and so many others praying outside of this body. And that, again, brought peace because we knew there's something about knowing you're not alone. And I've never felt that quite like being in this. But to know you're not alone and know that people are like cheering with you and fighting for you, it gives you courage. And I just, and Mike and I would just want to say thank you so much for that. You know, obviously the journey continues, but like that video clip that Mike showed last week, and if you haven't had a chance to see it, he would show you again, but it just had me in tears because the greatest stories have hard things in them. That's a great story. And so we can rest assured when we've had hard things growing up, our family's not perfect, our, you know, relationships aren't working, we lose our job, there's a greatness in it because great stories have hard things in them. And it's just, our goal is to not see the circumstance and fall under it because, you know, Susan and I were saying this, Mike and I have talked about this, circumstances are bad, of course. You read the MRI reports, you read the paperwork, and, you know, that's why the doctors get confused why sometimes in medical things, if you're encouraged and you have faith, but it's how you look at them. You know, we know that God is the God who heals. We know that he heals the blind. We know he heals all kinds of physical ailments. We know that his timing is good. But the biggest thing for me and Mike is we know that God loves us, period. And so I don't know why certain things have happened, but I kind of don't care. Because I know that he loves me, and that's what matters. In fact, Kate even said to me not too long ago, he was, Mommy, and I don't remember the complete conversation, but he was basically saying, do you know why this happened? And I said, no, I don't. And he goes, well, I have an idea. When we get to heaven, we'll ask Jesus, and then we probably won't even care. And I said, yeah, and this is coming from the guy who's going through it. And I said, exactly, Cade. We don't know and we don't care because God is teaching us to live in the moment, live in the day, be faithful. All good warriors have hard battles. So I just want to thank you. Like Johanna said, we're walking in it, but it's a real beautiful place to be where you can't get too cocky in your future. You're just brought right back and you just stay in that moment and stay in the prayer. And we really appreciate your prayers. I know for me, it's the schedule that's so grueling. I feel like when Mike's home, he jokes, I'm off. I'm like, no, I'm off. But to have that time to just recoup and just refresh our souls and take the water breaks when we need them and when you need them, to take those times. So, I'm excited to see all that the Lord's going to do, and I know he's not finished yet. And I know that he loves us. He really does. And I think if today, if we leave today knowing that, that he loves you. And the crazy thing, my dad used to say this to me, do you realize he loves you as much as he ever will today? And I, because we feel like he loves us more sometimes when we're doing better. But he doesn't. He loves you as much as he ever will, ever, so much today. And that's for us, and that brings complete comfort because he gives good gifts to his children. He loves us. He's not playing tricks with us. He wants our hearts. So thank you so much.
I haven't asked her, but Mary, if you'd want to come up, I'd love to hear from you or from Bo. Bo, which one? Bo, would you like to come up? Come on. And Mary, if you're comfortable there, don't worry, you don't need to. But I'll come to you. No.
Classic Kevin to call you up and not expect it. Well, it's kind of hard to follow Aaron and Sue's, and Johanna even. That was a sermon in itself. This year has been pretty tough, I think, for a lot of us. And with me, it was a hard year, but an unbelievably good year. It's important to start off with the good, I think. Because it's a big part of my testimony this last year. That's that I got engaged to Katie in April. And that was a huge moment for Katie and I because it was a time for us to celebrate in the midst of a hard moment. I knew I wanted to marry Katie, and I wanted to for some time, and I felt like I needed to wait until I was done with school, get everything aligned, and do it the right way. And then, surely but slowly, I started having a pain in my side, and went to the doctors, and they said I had appendicitis. And so I was in the hospital for about a week, and then they put me on antibiotics for about a month and a half, and said we're going to get the appendix out in about a month and a half because it actually didn't rupture. So we agreed to it, talked about it with Katie, and we agreed that's probably the best move to do. And that was in March of this year. And I got the appendix out, and they found from the pathology report that it was cancer that caused the appendicitis. And so I met with Kevin, told him about what happened, gave him the update, and he prayed for us. And I went to lunch with Kevin and David, and I remember telling them that I wanted to marry Katie. And Kevin told me though, he's like, make sure you don't ask her to marry you until you know you're well. And I agreed to that. I thought that was the best thing to do. So Katie, being my girlfriend at the time, endured two operations with me during that time. I had to get my appendix taken out and some of my colon. And when the doctor said he's pretty sure they got all the cancer, that was the green light for me. And I went out and I had listened to the counsel of Kevin. But I went out and got a ring and surprised Katie because I remember we were in the hospital and I told Katie, okay, when I get out here, let's do something fun. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And so I surprised her and got a boat and went down to Coronado in San Diego and proposed on a boat. And it was an incredible moment. It actually sounds really kind of silly, but while I asked her, I was really nervous to ask her hand in marriage, and like any guy would, I'm sure. And I didn't know when to do it when I was on the boat. And all of a sudden, a pod of dolphins came over. And then there was a couple seals on this buoy, and there's literally dolphins around us. I remember thinking, like, this is the moment. This is the moment. This is when I got to do it. And that moment was the highlight of my year. And it was It was a great moment because it was in the midst of the tragedy of what was going on. Katie and I had this wonderful moment, and I asked for a hand in marriage. She said yes, and then after that, I had to start my chemotherapy. So Katie was going through the chemo with me and enduring all this with me. And I it's not my testimony, it's our testimony, what we've been through together. Katie's been my right-hand anchor to me in this time. When we go to doctor's appointments, Katie be the one laying hands on me and proclaiming scripture over my body when I'm scared, when I'm nervous. When she's nervous or scared, I'm praying for her. It's crazy how we've had this bond together and gotten close to this. There's been struggles this year, absolutely, with, you know, that we're just normal couples go through, but at the same time, we're building a deep relationship amidst this tragedy that kind of happened, but everything is good now. I finished my chemo. We're planning a wedding now, but it's God was there through it all, and it's amazing how God, every time we faced a mountain, God got us to that top of the mountain, and then there was always seemed to be another one to go through to climb, but God got us to that peak, and so, you know, it's been a hard year, but a really, really rich year, and I'm actually happy to be celebrating the new year and kind of laying this one behind, but I got a minute more to share here. I just want to say thank you for you all for praying over me and for Katie during this last year. I remember I was sitting up here. Kevin asked us to do a prayer night here. And most of you guys were here, and many of your hands were laid upon me to pray. And I can't tell you how much that meant to Katie and I. Like Aaron said, you feel the prayer in those hard moments. We felt that prayer. I remember there was a couple times I told Katie, I feel like someone's praying for us right now. And she said, I do too. So I just want to say thank you, on behalf of Katie and I, that thank you for your prayers and your support this last year. And we're really excited for this next one because the next one's going to be even better. So thanks, guys.
Mary Johnson.
I don't know what I'm going to say. But you probably know, too, that I've been struggling with lymphoma, you know, for a while. And I just have gotten to know the Lord so intimately as healer. You know, we know him as Savior from the beginning of our walk with him. But to know him as healer is very precious, because that day when he was crucified, he took a whipping. They beat him with these whips and cut his flesh open. They broke his body. His body was broken for us to be healed. And I've clung to that, and I'm doing well with my, I'm due for a PET scan pretty soon, so I don't know what's going on right this minute, but the last three PET scans have shown that my tumors were not growing. The doctor said everything is just stable. And he meets me in worship as healer. And I'm just so grateful for that. So, thank you.
Two minutes. Come. Thank you, Mary. Mary is, she comes to our prayer meeting every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., sometimes in 40-degree weather, and the room is freezing, but yeah, Mary prays along with Dale and Rhonda, sometimes Denise Pedroza, and who am I missing? John Fadul, whenever he's in town, but there's consistent prayer every week for the issues at hand, and Mary is one of those that quietly comes and sits in the back each Sunday there. I can't tell you what we'd be without Mary. I appreciate her so much. And so, Mark.
With everybody sharing this morning, there is something that on Christmas Eve, I was thinking over the year and all the things that there have been so many people that have gone through. And thinking about the goodness of God and how through the adversity that we go through, what Mary had to say and everybody else is so true is that in adversity, that's when you find the reality of the love that God has for you. Not when you're great, not when you're good, not when you're accomplished, not when you're talented, but when you are the most vulnerable, that's when God meets you the greatest. And I was thinking about things on a very practical standpoint. I'm losing my voice, so this will be short. In January and February, January, I went in the hospital, nearly bled to death, and then in February, I went in a second time, and I really nearly died. That was a motivational element in me, as you can probably imagine. But I thought I was a thankful person before then. Christmas Eve, I started thinking about if I would have known in January that I was nearly going to die, I probably wouldn't have gotten as anxious as I would have if you'd have told me that January 10th would have been the last paycheck I was going to get for 2012. Well, the reality is I have made it through 2012 without a paycheck. And it's been God that's been there in a way that is unbelievable. Aaron and I were talking a while back, and it's the people that have the least and that have gone through the most significant tragedy and devastation that are the most grateful. Ravi Zacharias, a great guy, has a writer on his staff that went to India, and he said the most grateful people he met were the ones that were the untouchables. He said they were the people that had a real thankful heart for things because they had so little. They knew what it was to be hungry, so when they were with a little bit of food, they were unbelievably thankful. Scripture says, you know, to a full man, even the honeycomb is bitter. But to a man who's truly hungry, even the bitterest thing is sweet. And so as I was thinking about all the things that had happened to me and to Bo and to Sue, who I've prayed for since she got this, and Bo since this year, and Cade and Mary and all the people that have been on my, I still pray for Reuben, by the way, that have gone through things that have been difficult. He has for us something planned that we don't understand. We couldn't have seen what the Lord was going to become had we been there in that moment. I was telling David this morning that I know that I heard this thing about Mary, that when the wise men came and fell at the Lord's feet, and we think of all that as being so wonderful and grateful, and they acknowledged the reality of God being the King of Kings, and Mary just looking at him and said, "You brought gold? You didn't bring any milk?" You know, there's a reality to all of this that you get to thinking about that brings you to a thankful heart. And this is what the Lord gave me about 3 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day. It says, it's in Jeremiah 29. And for those of you who know Cooper's father-in-law, he went through quadruple, quintuple, whatever it was, bypass, and nearly died too, and has had a hard time both financially, and God's bringing them through it. But it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans," this is after they had, the Lord was talking about bringing them out of exile. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you, and you will seek my face, and in fact you will find me when you search for me with all your heart," which is what this kind of situation causes you to do. "And I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, in sickness and disease and in devastation and in poverty and in anguish and in hopelessness and in insecurity, and I'll bring you back from exile." And he's done that. And I'm looking forward to 2013.
Those are all, every one of those stories are life and death stories, and every one of them has had to look in the mirror and address their life like, we're worried about the next thing. We're worried about this and that. And then God brings something into your life that changes everything. You wanted to say something?
Can I get just 2 minutes?
2 minutes? How many think Duke can do it in 2 minutes? Let me see your hands. All right, because we need, this will be the last one. Come, Duke. Duke and Susie and Nancy are here from Indianapolis, Indiana. Duke used to be in the church, and he was, their daughter, Emily, was really good friends with Paige, and Nancy sang in Mike and Aaron's wedding like 10 years ago. So they're out here for the holidays. Duke.
You saved me 30 seconds with that, okay?
No, I took 30 seconds.
I just wanted to come up. I know many of you in the church. I don't know all of you. But I must tell you, even though we live in Indianapolis now, I still feel this is my church home. So that's number one. Number two, Kevin's my favorite pastor, but my second favorite is Charles Stanley. And I was with some of you at a retreat several years ago, and I remember some of you in the room that were there, Matt, David, Kevin, Bill, Mark, and I probably missed a few, okay? But at that time, I got up and I gave my testimony, and my testimony was this. I'd heard a session from, or a sermon from Charles Stanley, and he said, you know, we all, and it reminded me as I sit here, we all go through these storms in life. And he talked about the storms of life that we go through. And you have just demonstrated that to me over the past 20 or 30 minutes, right? The storms of life that we all go through. So my testimony at that retreat, which brought me to another level, I might add, was that my mom was going through Alzheimer's, and I was the only son. She had Alzheimer's for not 5 years, not six, not seven, not eight, not 10, but 16 years. And I watched her go from, you know, 120 or 30 pounds to 80 pounds when she died. But when I gave her eulogy, I said, the great, great, great news is she has Jesus. She had Jesus in her heart. So, you know, going to that retreat moved me through that station of my life to a new level. And by gosh, I needed a new level. And then the past, since our daughter, our eldest daughter, Lorraine, had a seizure disorder, she had epilepsy, started having seizures when she was 18, and consistently had seizures every month till she was 30. We tried everything, got on our hands and knees and prayed, did it all. But you know, throughout it, as Aaron said, God was with us and God was with her. And she wavered. You know, some people waver a little bit. She couldn't be stronger in the Lord. She is so strong, she wants to be a missionary now. Yeah? And oh, by the way, God helped us find the finest doctor in the world from Harvard. And 18 months ago, Susie and her went to see that doctor. And guess what? Praise the Lord, Lorraine hasn't had a seizure in 18 months. Pretty darn good, huh? So I give all the credit to our Lord Jesus Christ. So I learned in that time at boot camp. It was boot camp. We played bat. I mean, I had, Cooper. Cooper pushing me around on the basketball court. Come on. Like, I don't remember. Matt was playing us two on two or three on three. It was a boot camp. But I know that God never leaves us. I know that God doesn't forsake us. I know that you got to stay close to him. I know that you got to get on your knees and pray to him. And you just got to know that until the day's end for you, you got to follow Jesus. And so I'm going through a small thing right now that, you know, they've told me my PSA's climbed a little bit, and when you get to be an old guy like me, sometimes that happens, and so you got to watch it. So I got to go back and have some tests done again. So I just ask that you keep me in your prayers. God bless you all.